Please open your Bibles this morning to Luke 1, verse 18. And we are going to start our journey there this morning. But we are also going to open our Bibles to Luke 1, 26, Matthew 1, 18. So if you can open your Bible to both places, somehow mark one, that would be great. We're going to definitely start in Luke, though, before we go to Matthew. So this morning, as we watched the Christmas program took the perspective of the angels and gave us kind of a lighthearted insight as to what it might have looked like in heaven as God sent his messengers to earth to prepare Mary and Joseph for the good news that they would receive. And so this morning, what we're going to do is just kind of pick up on the theme of the Christmas program a bit and dive into the scene with Mary and Joseph to see what it would have been like from their perspective to receive this good news, whether they saw it as good news initially or not, to receive this good news and understand what it would have meant for them and the entire world. And so we're going to look first at Luke 1 with Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel, and then we're going to look at Joseph's encounter as well. And we're going to try to see what was going on and what it means for us today. So let's start with Luke 1, again, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And so we start this morning with this scene of Mary in Nazareth, a rural town in Galilee. Mary is on nobody's radar. She is just a country girl with nothing noteworthy about her. She's not famous. She's not royal. She's not priestly like Zechariah and Elizabeth were, as we talked about them last week. She's just a girl living in Nazareth. And we're told just a couple things about her. One is she's a virgin, and one is that she is engaged to a man who is a descendant of King David. And both of those are important and noteworthy. As a virgin, it means obviously she hasn't been with a man, which means that the news she's about to receive is true, that she hasn't been with somebody, so this baby can't be somebody else's child. An important note. And the fact that she's engaged to a man from the who's a descendant of King David also means that the Old Testament promises about the coming Messiah are also coming true, that the child would be in the lineage of King David, a Messiah, a king on the throne, as God promised David all those years ago. So here's Mary, engaged to be married, on nobody's radar, and Gabriel shows up and says to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And it's a shock to Mary. And it's where we kind of get a thought bubble above her head. We're told she's pondering what this angel is saying to her, and she's trying to probably take in who this person might be that's standing in her room speaking these words to her. She's probably trying to figure out why she, of all people, would be favored. And maybe taking it into the point where she's also wondering, what in the world is God about to ask me to do? And the angel says, don't fear. Right? Typical angelic response, don't fear. And it's interesting because this really is a command. This is not a passive invitation to not be afraid. It is really a command to not fear. There's nothing to be worried about, is what he's saying to her. The angel again says, you have found favor with God. Now, one commentator said this, favor signifies God's gracious choice of someone through who God does something special. So for no particular reason, God has looked upon her with his grace and chosen to do something special with her life, regardless of what she's done or who she's been. His grace is upon her. And then the angel goes on to give Mary this glorious, grace-filled announcement. She learns that she will conceive and have a son, and the son's name is Jesus. And he will be the Son of the Most High, which is like another way of saying he will be the Son of God. And his reign will be different, the angel says. He will receive the throne of King David. He will be kingly. He will be a ruler. He will be highly regarded, is what the angel is communicating to Mary. Somebody who is fulfilling promises. And his reign will be forever. His kingdom will never end. Unlike most kings whose kingdoms eventually fall, Jesus' kingship is everlasting. His kingdom will never come to an end. This is a new kind of king, someone different than the people have ever experienced. And he is coming into the world. And Mary takes all this in the best way she can and says to the angel, look, how can this be? I'm a virgin, right? She's trying to process how she, who has never been with somebody, could possibly be getting pregnant. And this isn't like Zechariah. Last week, Zechariah responded to the angel Gabriel with doubt. He's like, look, I'm old. This doesn't make any sense. And I don't believe you, essentially, is what he was saying. But Mary says, I believe you, but I don't get it. How can this be? How can this be? And Gabriel explains to Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and conceive this child in some kind of supernatural and profound way. God would create new life in Mary. And the resulting son, the text goes on to say, the resulting son would be holy. He's set apart. He's different. And more than that, he is the Son of God. This child is going to be someone special. And it's interesting because as the son of David, because he's going to take the throne of David, he is somebody special for the Jewish people. He is a king that will help the Jews reclaim what they were missing. But as the Son of God, what we also see is that his kingship is good news for everyone. That Jesus has not just come to be king of the Jews, he has come to take his rightful place as king of the world, where he will reign in grace and truth and justice. And what we're told here is that Mary accepts this task that God has given her without doubt. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And it's amazing to think about Mary taking this on, because in those days, an unwed mother had all kinds of trouble. By taking this on, she was really trusting God that he was going to work in some profound ways. Because back then, in this time period, even the appearance of promiscuity would bring about divorce or possibly death. It would mean that the person was brought into the public square and humiliated. Mary would have been treated for much of her life with contempt and shame. She would have been harassed because this child seemed illegitimate. And it's not just the townspeople, right? It's her parents, it's her relatives who also had to try to buy into this crazy story. And to make matters worse, she had to convince Joseph that this was a true story. Now, the engagement process at this time was way different than ours. There's a transaction between parents. There's a bride price that's been paid. Joseph and Mary are engaged for a year, even though they don't really know each other. They're just engaged. And that engagement is like being married, except that they're not living together and acting like a married couple. But in the engagement, he is husband and she is wife, and they're getting to know each other. And so Mary has to go to Joseph, who they probably don't have a lot of knowledge of, and say to him, "Look, I'm pregnant, and God did it." And she has to expect that Joseph will believe that. Now imagine having to try to communicate that news to anyone. It's crazy. It's far-fetched. It sounds unbelievable. And Joseph doesn't take the news well. Let's look at Joseph's response in Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So again, you can understand why Joseph would be skeptical in this situation, right? Because this news is far-fetched and hard to take in. And so we're told that Joseph is righteous. And because he's righteous, he has in mind to divorce her quietly. And sometimes when we read this, we think his righteousness comes from the fact that he's going to divorce her quietly. But the quiet divorce is what makes him righteous. But what makes him righteous is that he is moving forward with the divorce. The law in those days for both Jews and Greeks and Romans demanded that if a wife was caught in adultery, she was to be divorced immediately, and she was to be made a public spectacle of. She was to be brought out in public so everyone would know what she did. And if Joseph didn't do that, that law following made him righteous. But if he didn't do that, if he didn't follow through with the divorce, then he would be forever viewed as weak because he chose love over the law. Love over justice. And so Joseph is wrestling with this, and Joseph has in mind to do the righteous, law-following thing and divorce her. Because his reputation is on the line if he stays with her. If Joseph stays with her, he will carry the shame and the cultural problems of Mary as they struggle through this life together. And just when it looks like he's going to pull the trigger, just when it looks like Joseph might divorce her, an angel shows up again on the scene. There are so many angels in this birth story as heaven and earth mingle in the person of Jesus. An angel shows up in Joseph's dream. We saw that kind of displayed in the program this morning, and confirms to Joseph Mary's story and says, "Look, the baby really is of the Holy Spirit. Stay with her." And Joseph's response to the angel really is a testament of his faith in God, that he trusts God working in this situation. Because again, how people viewed him for life now was going to be dependent on how he treated Mary in this situation. And Joseph stayed with her and took on her shame. Now, one of the things we see as we ponder these two stories this morning, just briefly, is that God's ways are not our ways. that God's ways are not our ways. Because every Christmas, as we unpack the Advent stories, I'm struck time and time again that God would send His Son into the world in a situation like this. The King of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, seems to deserve the most majestic and holy and righteous birth of all time. And instead, the King of kings and Lord of lords gets a humble beginning by harassed and unaccepted parents who are cast out in shame. God works in ways that we don't necessarily always understand, and He works in ways to bring His Son into the world to identify with our pain and our heartache and our shame. Now, we can also look at the story this morning and no doubt see the faith of Mary and Joseph as they trust God and they're being thrown into this cultural chaos. But I hope that what you're really seeing this morning is this, that in the midst of the story of Joseph and Mary and all that they went through, the good news is not that Mary and Joseph were faithful, it's that God was faithful in sending His long-awaited Son. Jesus was coming into the world. And Jesus means God saves. Jesus means God saves. So by telling Mary and Joseph to name Him this, they are saying, look, salvation, God is saying salvation has come. And He gives Joseph insight into what that salvation is, right? He says to Joseph, God will save people from sin. Now, this is an interesting point that immediately roots out some of the Jewish hope. The Jewish hope that looked for a Messiah who would come in and clean house, that the Messiah who would come in and remove all those sinful outsider Roman Greek people from their existence. A Messiah who would come in and expand the borders of Israel and make it amazing again. A Messiah who would come in and clean up all of the problems and return Israel to its wealth and glory. This is what the people expected and what the people looked for. And what God says is, I'm sending a Savior who will save you from your sin. In the birth announcement, in the prologue to Jesus' ministry, we have His mission clear and simple. That the problem is not those who are outside. The problem is inside. It's a heart problem. And the only cure is the one being sent, who is Jesus. The mission of Jesus is bigger than anyone ever expected. And Jesus is able to fulfill this mission because He is, of course, God's Son, but also because, as the prophet says, who's quoted in Matthew, Isaiah says, He is Emmanuel, He is God with us. In the miracle of the birth of Jesus, we have God graciously fulfilling all of the promises He made throughout the Old Testament to deliver His people once and for all. And how would He accomplish this deliverance? Through His Son, Emmanuel, Son of David, Son of God, the one who would come into the world through rejected and harassed and culturally humiliated parents to enter into a ministry where He would willingly be rejected and harassed and humiliated, even murdered, to save God's people. And so this morning, we gaze in awe through the eyes of the angels in the Christmas program. We gaze in awe through the eyes of Mary and Joseph as they take in this good news. And we look to the child who would come, born in humble means, to rise up and save us all. The child who would change everything. The child who demands our attention this time of year in particular. As we focus on the birth of Jesus, on His coming into the world, we need to see the love and greatness of God poured out for us. That God works on our behalf. And that God will send His Son one day as well to come again. This time, without the humility and the harassment, but in power and glory to finally claim what belongs to Him. And so in Advent, we look forward to the birth of Jesus. But again, we look forward into His second coming, when all will be made new. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this morning and we thank You for the birth of Your Son. We thank You for this glorious announcement that You have provided through the humble people of Mary and Joseph. God, You worked in them to begin the ministry of Jesus. You give us this prologue, this entrance into who Jesus will be. And we see, Lord God, that He is more than we ever asked for. He's greater than we ever imagined. And He's going to do work that we never dreamed possible. And so, God, we look forward to remembering the birth of Jesus, and we hang our hope on His ministry and on His death and His resurrection, and that through those things, we are indeed set free. We're made new. We're loved. We're Your children, and we're thankful. God, thank You for Your love poured out for us in Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to love Him like He loves us. Amen.